Migration Advocates Use Bridge Deaths to Push for More Migration. By Neil Munro on March 27, 2024. Advocates for More Migration are exploiting the deaths of six migrant workers in the Baltimore Bridge disaster to argue that more migration is essential for America. "We know we can and we will rebuild," said a statement from Krishnamaravinaraja, the Sri Lankan-born president of Global Refuge, an organization that is paid to help settle migrants in American communities. "The contributions of our immigrant brothers and sisters will continue to be essential in that effort. Our hearts are with every person impacted by the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore," said the United We Dream, a business-backed pro-amnesty group. "Among them, immigrant people visionaries who are improving our communities every day and ensuring we have the freedom to move around our cities. They're trying to make them seem like the NYPD rushing into the World Trade Center," responded Mark Krikorian, director of the Center for Immigration Studies. He continued, "I'm not in any way being disrespectful toward them by saying that they were doing a regular blue-collar job. Most of the people who do this are Americans. In this case, for any number of reasons, these guys were immigrants. There's just no immigration policy implications to draw from this tragedy. There are personal tragedies that have immigration policy implications, such as murders caused by the government's reckless border policy," Krikorian added. Riley Lackin in Georgia was murdered, in Georgia, by somebody that this administration encouraged to cross the border illegally, took into custody, and then released. He was then protected from the consequences of his illegality by being in a sanctuary jurisdiction. Those are real policy implications that are separate from the personal tragedy. What are the policy implications for migration from this bridge loss? "The dead workers were neither saints nor devils, they were just regular working stiffs," said Krikorian, adding, "The whole thing is just kind of creepy, to be perfectly honest." Migration advocates argue that Americans should be grateful that migrants were on the bridge that night. American workers got to sleep in their beds and not get hit by a cargo ship because immigrant workers went to work to fill potholes, tweeted David Beer, a pro-migration advocate at the Cato Institute. After their sleep, Beer added, the Americans could commute to work going to jobs with better pay and working conditions. This demonstrates that migrants go out and do risky jobs at midnight, Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador said Wednesday. For this reason, they do not deserve to be treated as they are by certain insensitive, irresponsible politicians in the United States, he claimed in a transparent criticism of former President Donald Trump and other migration skeptic politicians. Obrador is playing a critical role in U.S. migration policy because Biden's deputies do not want to enforce U.S. border law. The migrants. Eight migrant men were filling potholes on Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge when it was rammed by an Indian crude cargo ship. Six of the eight were killed, one was injured, and one walked away from emergency crews. New reports described the men as immigrants, but did not claim they were legal immigrants. The migrants were from Mexico, Guatemala, and El Salvador. They were hard-working, humble men, Juan Campos, a Spanish-speaking employee at Bronner Builders, told reporters. They were employed by a local company, Bronner Builders, under a government contract to maintain the roads through Baltimore City. Without those migrants, the work would have been done by fewer and better-paid Americans, usually with the aid of better machinery. On Tuesday, Breitbart News asked Bronner if the company had posted a statement about the men's legal status. "Not at this time," the representative told Breitbart News. "This tragic event was completely unforeseen and was not something that we could imagine would happen," the company said in a statement that does not mention the employee's legal status. A GoFundMe page also dodges the issue. "There could be policy implications if they were not authorized to work," Krikorian noted. "However, if that's the case, then it's the employers clearly who are on the hook." Federal immigration law is deliberately complex to ensure that employers and their lawyers can employ foreign labor with very little risk that executives will face personal fines or jail time. For example, the federal government imports roughly 1 million foreign workers on temporary visas each year. It also provides work permits to people who submit fraudulent or irrelevant applications for green cards and political asylum. And it threatens companies who screen job applicants for fake fraudulent documents. politics and policy. Advocates for more migration routinely promote their cause by citing examples of individual migrants, regardless of migration's macroeconomic impact on wages, housing, families, trade, professionals, innovation, productivity, and cities. This is actually kind of macabre that they're trying to use the deaths of these bridge workers to argue for essentially unlimited immigration and no enforcement, Kerkorian said. Advocates for more migration are also eager to smear advocates for less migration, Kerkorian said. Our model is fewer immigrants and a warmer welcome. But they impute an ill motive because they lack the imagination to understand that calling for tighter migration and lower levels has nothing to do really with the character, quality of individual people. Policy should recognize the impact on assimilation and the impact on security, the impact on the welfare state. And numbers of migrants are the issue there because if numbers are low enough, then policy debates are not even that important. National outcomes, not personal character or individual gains, is the critical issue, Kerkorian argued. Most of the migrants are just regular people, good and bad, like everybody else, so their migration status has no significance for policymakers worried about transport and bridges, said Kerkorian. Extraction migration. Government officials try to grow the economy by raising exports, productivity, and the birth rate. But officials want rapid results, so they also try to expand the economy by extracting millions of migrants from poor countries to serve as extra workers, consumers, and renters. This policy floods the labor market and so shifts vast wealth from ordinary people to older investors, coastal billionaires, and Wall Street. The flood makes it difficult for Americans to advance in their careers, get married, raise families, buy homes, or gain wealth. Extraction migration slows innovation and shrinks Americans' productivity. This happens because migration allows employers to boost stock prices by using stoop labor and disposable workers instead of the skilled American professionals and productivity-boosting technology that allowed Americans in the 20th century to grow their personal and national wealth. This migration policy also reduces exports because it minimizes shareholder pressure on C-suite executives to take a career risk by trying to grow exports to poor countries. Outside government, migration also undermines employees' workplace rights, and it widens the regional economic gaps between the Democrats' cheap labor coastal states and the Republicans' heartland and southern states. An economy fueled by extraction migration also drains Americans' political clout over elites and it alienates young people. It radicalizes Americans' democratic civic culture because it gives a moral excuse for wealthy elites and progressives to ignore despairing Americans at the bottom of society, such as drug addicts. This diversify and rule investor strategy is enthusiastically pushed by progressives. They wish to transform the U.S. from a society governed by European origin civic culture into an economic empire of jealous identity groups overseen by progressive hall monitors. We're trying to become the first multiracial, multi-ethnic superpower in the world, Silicon Valley Representative Rohit Khanna, DCA, told the New York Times in March 2022. It will be an extraordinary achievement, we will ultimately triumph, he boasted. But the progressive-backed, colonialism-like migration policy kills many migrants. It exploits the poverty of migrants and splits foreign families as it extracts human resources from poor home countries to serve wealthy U.S. investors. Progressives hide this extraction migration economic policy behind a wide variety of noble-sounding explanations and theatrical border security programs. Progressives claim the U.S. is a nation of immigrants, that economic migrants are political victims, that migration helps migrants more than Americans, and that the state must renew itself by replacing populations. Similarly, establishment Republicans, businesses, and GOP donors hide the pocketbook impact. They prefer to divert voters' attention toward border chaos, welfare spending, terror-linked migrants, migrant crime, and drug smuggling. Many polls show the public wants to welcome some immigration. But the polls also show deep and broad public opposition to labor migration and the inflow of temporary contract workers into the jobs needed by the families of blue-collar and white-collar Americans. This third-rail opposition is growing, anti-establishment, multiracial, cross-sex, non-racist, class-based, bipartisan, rational, persistent, and recognizes the solidarity that American citizens owe to one another.